Would you like guidance in making decisions, decisions that will affect your entire future? Would you use a Urim and Thummim if it was available? Although the ephod was good, did you know that God has provided an even better guidance system for Christians? If what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? 2 Corinthians 2:11. Notice in Acts 16 for the New Testament, there was no Urim and Thummim, but there was guidance. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but they weren't allowed to do that. Now, I'd like you to notice the words I skipped. They were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to enter Bithynia. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come down, come over to Macedonia and help us." Doors, you see, were being shut and doors were being opened. And after he, that is Paul, had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. You see, God's guidance system for Christians has three parts. Those who do these three things will be enabled to act wisely at all times and under all circumstances. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 43. Now, would you like to act wisely at all times and under any kind of circumstances? I promise this. It is three conditions to meet that promise. You see, it is these three conditions that teach us how we receive the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that helps us and guides us. Let me give them in reverse order. Rely upon Christ. Counsel with God. Study the Bible. Let me read that quote again. In fact, let's read it together. Those who study the Bible, counsel with God, and rely upon Christ will be enabled to act wisely at all times and under all circumstances. Is there any better guidance system than that? Minute by minute. When you're off course, the GPS system says, this is the way. Walk in it when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. But do you know how to study the Bible, counsel with God, and rely upon Christ? This is going to be the focus of our seminar over the next several hours together. How to do these things. First, let's look at daily Bible study. Because you see, it is as we do this that we receive the Holy Spirit. Education, page 189. In daily study, the verse-by-verse method is often most helpful. What's the verse-by-verse method? Well, it's the most helpful in what kind of study? Daily study. There are other kinds of Bible study, but in daily study, what is generally the kind of study you want to do? Verse by verse. How is this done? Let the student take one verse, and another's we're parallel to this. She says, take a passage and concentrate the mind on ascertaining the thought that God has put in that verse. We take the verse, we concentrate the mind. We ascertain. What does the word ascertain mean? If you'll notice, there is the word certain in it. We know with certainty the thought that God has put in that verse. You see, unless the Bible becomes a vehicle by which God's voice speaks to us, is it helping us? God has a thought that He has placed in every single scripture of the Bible, and He's placed that thought hidden in there for you. This is a thought that was for you when He inspired it with the prophet. And He wants you to discover His special thoughts for you because He wants to talk to you directly through His Word. And then we dwell on that thought until it becomes our own. She continues, "One passage thus studied until its significance is clear is of more value than the perusal of many chapters with no definite purpose in view and no positive instruction gained." You see, when I was in medical school, I learned that I could read through the textbooks and come away with not very much knowledge. Has that ever happened to you in school? But when you're studying for a particular test, what do? You study a little differently, don't you? You concentrate a little differently. And God wants us to concentrate on Scripture until we know His thoughts. And rather than having it our purpose, I want to read through the entire Bible this year and go through chapter after chapter, and I've checked off my chapter list, but I haven't heard the voice of God. Rather than doing that, God wants us to take a verse-by-verse method. Then it says, "Counsel with God. Testimonies to Ministers," page 487. We have a divine audience to which to present our requests. "Then let nothing prevent us from offering our petitions in the name of Jesus, believing with unwavering faith that God hears us and that He will answer us. Let us carry our difficulties to God, humbling ourselves before Him. There is a great work to be done. And while it is our privilege to counsel together, we must be very sure in every matter to counsel with God, for He will never mislead us. We are not to make flesh our arm. If we do, depending chiefly upon human help, human guidance, unbelief will steal in, and our faith will die." Testimonies, volume 6, page 241. He cannot work effectively. He cannot carry out the will of God in harmony with the divine mind unless he finds out, not from human sources, but from infinite wisdom, that God is pleased with his plans. We want to please the Lord. And how do we find out what best pleases the Lord? I'm going to take this major in college. Is God pleased with your plans? Do you need to know that He's pleased with your plans? I'm going to marry this person. Do you need to know that God is pleased with that plan? I'm going to go here to work. Do you need to know that God is pleased with the direction of your life? We'll look at how to counsel with God in a future session, Lord willing. Do you know why the Jews seldom used their guidance system, the ephod? Number one, it took time. 1 Samuel 14, 18 and 19. "Bring the ephod here," Saul said to Ahijah the priest. On that day, Ahijah was carrying it in front of the people of Israel. As Saul was speaking to the priest, the confusion in the Philistine camp kept getting worse. So Saul said to him, "There is no time to consult the Lord." And folks, Saul didn't have time to do anything else. As Luther said, "I have so much to do, I need to take more time to pray." It took time. Second, all known sin must be confessed. 1 Samuel 14:36 and 37. The priest said, "Let's consult God first." So Saul asked God, "Shall I attack the Philistines? Will you give us victory?" But God did not answer that day. Then Saul said to the leaders of the people, "Come here and find out what sin was committed today." Third, the heart must be cleansed of idols. Ezekiel 14, 1-3. "Some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat down in front of me." Here's the prophet. "And the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Shall I let them inquire of me at all? If I regard iniquity in my heart, what will happen to my counseling with God? He will not what? Hear me. If we go to God, it's to find His will, not to give Him, to get His permission to do ours. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The big problem of our counseling with God, the reason we don't get guidance, folk, is we don't know the sinfulness of our heart. We don't know the idols with which we take, kneeling down to pray. And if we don't know our hearts, we can't get guidance. And so we must say with David, Psalm 139, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways." God knows our hearts, but He needs to reveal it to us. And then, fourth, the ephod was neglected because it required full reliance on God. Some instruction from the ephod didn't seem to make sense. Some instruction went against the inclination and desires of the people. And if we are going to rely upon God, we fully obey. 1 Chronicles 13:12-13, "And David was afraid of God that day, saying, 'How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?' So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David." You remember what had happened? David wanted more counsel. He wanted the ark there in Jerusalem. And he brought it according to his ideas. And what happened? Uzzah was slain. And so he says, "Oh no, we better not have the ark." And he brought not the ark to the city of David. 3 months had to pass before he changed his mind. These, of course, are the very same reasons that people do not have God's guidance today. We can have clear guidance, but it takes time. All known sin must be confessed. Our hearts must be cleansed of idols, and we must fully rely on God. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 112. Those who will, and then she lists off several steps. Those who do these things will be connected with heaven and will have a saving, transforming influence upon those around them. When I read in the Spirit of Prophecy or Scripture some wonderful promise, I immediately want to stop, put on my brakes and back up and say, what was being said here? Connected with heaven? This is how to be connected with heaven? Put on the whole armor of God. And devote some time every day to meditation and prayer and to the study of Scriptures. Connected with heaven is to have the Holy Spirit influencing us at all times. And this is by devoting time every day to meditation, prayer, and the study of the Scriptures. You see, you can't be connected with heaven. You can't have that Holy Spirit guiding you in your life without devoting some time, how often? Every day. I had a shaver that I picked up that I really liked. And the reason I loved the shaver was because I could do it in the shower. I'm busy. I don't have a lot of time to do much of anything except go to the next task. And with this shaver, I could come in from my run, shower, and shave at the same time. It's wonderful. And so I put the shaver every day into its, you'd stick it in its case where it would get a recharging. And 6-7 months went by. And one day I went to the shower and it went and stopped. And I didn't know, what's going on with this shaver? And so I came out and I stuck it in its recharger case. And I noticed the light didn't go on. So I got an eraser and I raced the connections. I thought maybe there's a film that's come over so it's not really making good contact. And I stuck it in and the light went on. And I was just very happy. And the next day I came to take to shave and it went, and that was the end of it. Didn't run anymore. So I wondered, what is going on here? And I looked at the charger and I discovered though the shaver was waterproof, the charger wasn't. And the water had run down, corroded the charger so it no longer worked. It had seemed like I had a connection every day. But what happened to the shaver? It had lost its connection and I went through the forms, but it was running on battery. And when the battery was done, there was no more power. Folk, are you getting a true connection with the Lord every day? Are you running on battery? Is your battery getting charged up maybe when you go to General Youth Conference? Has to run for a year? It won't. Won't last a year. Are you willing to make a commitment of time? Well, somebody says, how much time? Many want an exact amount. It's like in health reform. How many How many olives do I have to eat? It varies. When you go to a doctor's office, how long is the appointment? It all depends what you've got. Some are very quick, and some take longer. Usual amount of time, maybe 30 minutes. That's about the amount of time it takes for your eyes to get accommodated to darkness at night. That's about the time it takes to have a meal. And that's about the time it takes for a devotional experience. Education 260 and 261. Many, even in their seasons of devotion, fail of receiving the blessing of real communion with God. They are in, what's the next three words? Too great haste. With hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for counsel. If you want to have counsel, what does it take? Time. They have no time to remain with the divine teacher. With their burdens, they return to their work. She continues, these workers can never attain the highest success until they learn the secret of strength. They must give themselves, what's the next three words? Time to think, to pray, to wait upon God for a renewal of physical, mental, and spiritual power. They need the uplifting influence of His Spirit. That's the guider, the Spirit in the New Covenant. Receiving this, they will be quickened by fresh life. The wearied frame and tired brain will be refreshed. The burdened heart will be lightened. Not a pause for a moment in His presence, but personal contact with Christ, to sit down in companionship with Him. This is our need. Happy will it be for the children of our homes and the students of our schools when parents and teachers shall learn in their own lives the precious experience. But where can we find this kind of time? I'm so busy, I don't need one more thing to add to my life. Jesus helps us know, Mark 1:35, early in the morning. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He did what? He prayed. Let's just take this verse phrase by phrase as we learn how to do a verse by verse study of the Bible. Jesus gave His Father the very first fruits, the best. When we give our tithe, what do we give? The first. And when we give our time, what do we give? The first. What was the first full day that Adam and Eve spent together? The Sabbath. They gave Him their first fruits. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Matthew 6:33. Proverbs 8:17. Those that seek Me early shall find Me. While it was still dark. Jesus took time. The King James I like. A great while before day. He took a great deal of time. This was His pattern. Psalm 5:3. In the morning, O Lord, You hear My voice. In the morning I lay My request before You and wait in expectation. Then it says Jesus got up. He didn't say, now, Lord, I'm going to pray because I'm awake now, and I'll just pray right here in the warmth and comfort of my bed. Have you ever done that? There's a sleep reflex, unfortunately, and you want to practice this. When you lie down, what do you want to do? Sleep. So in the morning, if you practice waking up and still not sleeping, what will happen the next night? You may not get to bed. You may not get to sleep when you lie down. When you lie down, you want to have it reflexly go to sleep. When you get up, then you want to be awake. See, there is a place for meditation in bed. Psalm 63:6. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches. That is, when I can't get to sleep. And this helps us get to sleep. What time am I supposed to stop, by the way? 9 o'clock? 9:25, so I'm supposed to stop now? Boy. Those of you who need to go to another seminar, I'm going to just continue here. Slothfulness in morning devotions will cause spiritual poverty. Proverbs 6, 9 through 11. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty, spiritual poverty, will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Now, of course, we can't work day and night without taking time for devotion. Psalm 127, verse 2. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Some say, I just can't get up. Well, if you're having trouble getting up, it's helpful to go to bed earlier. Notice this, Council's Appearance and Teachers 297. In regulating the hours for sleep, there should be no haphazard work. Students should not form the habit of burning the midnight oil and taking the hours of the day for sleep. If they have been accustomed to doing this at home, they should correct the habit, going to bed at a seasonable hour. They will then rise in the morning refreshed for the duties of the day. In our schools, the light should be put out at 9:30. I made it through medical school having the lights off at 9:30. Then you have to, the question here is, what about if you're taking night classes? Obviously, you'd have to adjust that. Yeah, this is practical. But you have to get time to sleep is the point. The question here is, can't we do our study in the evening? Now, you want to get to the first part. You want to go to bed so that you can get up and spend at least a short amount of time in the morning before you go off to do your work. Now, here, you can let your Heavenly Father call you. And those who work nights, all this has to be adjusted, obviously. Isaiah 50, verse 4, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens mine ear to hear as the learned. Did you ever try to sleep when your father was calling you? Does God know how to get us up? He'll turn the lights on. And it says he went off into a solitary place. Jesus found a spot where he could meditate, pray, and study the Bible without distracting others and without being distracted. Now, if you look at his disciples, how many disciples did he have? He had 12, and then there were some women that were ministering to them. The disciples had wives and children. How many people were squeezed into this home of Peter, which was just a humble home, small home? They probably had, sleeping bags all over the floor. And so Jesus, notice John 2:12, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. There was had a big group there. When he got up, he didn't just say, well, now it's time for everybody else to get up. You need to be studying your Bible. No. Proverbs 27:14, he who blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. Jesus knew how to get up very quietly and not disturb the other people. So he stepped over them, and he didn't even study where it would bother somebody. He went out to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus is our example in all things. Do you want to find time for God? Do it in the morning. Secondly, improve your spare moments. Carry a portion of the Bible. I'm so delighted with my Palm Pilot. I not only have the Bible, I have it in several translations, Greek and Hebrew. I have 10 volumes of the Spirit of Prophecy. The only thing I don't like about this, and the one thing where I still prefer the carrying around one of the little pocket books from OA, one of the Spirit of Prophecy books, when you take off in an airplane, the 10 minutes taking off and the 10 minutes landing, they still have you turn off even the Palm Pilot. But except for that, it gives me a lot of places to study. Improve the spare moments. Christ Object Lessons 343. Let the moments be treasured, a few moments here and a few there, that might be frittered away in aimless talk. The morning hours so often wasted in bed, the time spent in traveling on trams or railway cars or waiting at the station, the moments of waiting for meals, waiting for those who are tardy in keeping appointments. If a book were kept at hand and these fragments of time were improved in study, reading, or careful thought, what might not be accomplished? Well, we can review memorized verses as we're improving spare moments. If you don't have a Bible with you, review what you've memorized of the Bible. Third, we want to avoid our wasted activities. There are forbidden pleasures, such as the things on video and TV. Here are some statistics just from television. Average television viewing in 1960 was 5 hours per household. By 92, it was 7 hours. In 1960, the average SAT scores were 975. In 1992, they had dropped to 899. Births to unwed mothers in 1960, 5.3. In 1992, the total number of births to unwed mothers was almost a third, 28%. In 1960, teen suicides were 3.6 per 100,000. In 1992, 11.3. Violent crimes in 1960, 16. In 1992, 75.8 per 10,000 people. And then we want to avoid inappropriate activities. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. How can we avoid wasted activities? We need to know the time. I was flying out to Washington, D.C. some years ago. I was the medical director of our hospital, and I was asked to lobby our senators and representatives because at that time, Hillary Clinton was working to make a socialized medicine, and our hospital chain was very much against that. So I flew into Washington, D.C. with another group, and we saw our senators and representatives to talk to them about the problems with the proposed plans. And I ran a little late while I was talking to the then Senator Robert Dole. And as I pulled away, I saw I had just minutes before I was to catch the plane at the National Airport. So I grabbed my books. I actually forgot my camera. Lost it, never to be seen again. But ran down the steps and then realized it was quite a ways to go from the Capitol where I was to the nearest taxi because they have a long protection there, so no bomb, no car bomb, nothing can come up close. And so I was running and I was hoping there would be a taxi, and in the providence of God, as I got there was a taxi coming, and I waved my hands and he pulled over and I jumped in. I said, "Can you get to National Airport from here in 15 minutes? And he said, "I believe I can." And so he went through shortcuts and he ran red lights. And I pulled up in front of the National Airport, jumped out. I didn't even have time to give the poor man a tip. And I ran to the airplane. They were just closing the doors. And I sort of rushed in and they closed it behind me. That close. Never been so close in my life. Didn't have time to check bags, just to get in. And so I was so thankful there, because I knew the time I had gotten my plane. And then I landed, we flew and landed in Chicago at the airport at O'Hare. And I realized I had over an hour to catch the next plane, and I hadn't had time to eat all day, so I was hungry. So I went and I picked up some popcorn, and I picked up some dried fruit and some juice. And I decided I'd go in, comb my hair, wash my hands, and just enjoy my meal. So I went in, and as I went into the men's room to get my hands all washed and get something to eat, it was right next to the gate where I was to take off to go to Wichita. And it was blinking there, Wichita, Wichita. So I thought, good, I'm right at the right place. So I combed my hair, and I came out and started to eat. And then I noticed there wasn't anything that was blinking saying Wichita anymore. And I rushed to the gate, and there was the plane there. And I said, "That's my plane." They said, "I'm sorry, sir, it's too late." You see, the time had changed, and I hadn't reset my watch. and I was an hour different. I thought I had time, and I didn't. In the one place, I was making every moment count because I knew that I had to get the flight. In the next, I was doing what? Sort of just ambling around. Is there anything wrong with eating popcorn and fruit? No, it's healthy. Nothing wrong. But it wasn't appropriate for the time. Romans 13:11, that knowing the time. And so I did not get on Wichita. There wasn't a flight till the next day. And I had to pay for staying at the Hilton there in O'Hare, which is an extra $150. That knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We mustn't be distracted. Luke 12:49. He said to them, "Why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Don't be distracted from that. We must turn away from a thousand topics that invite attention. This is Ministry of Healing 456. There are matters that consume time and arouse inquiry, but end in nothing. The highest interest demand the close attention and energy that are so the hour. So we make a commitment of time daily. We confess all known sins. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In conclusion, are you willing to make a commitment to devote some time every day to meditation, prayer, and a study of God's Word? Are you willing to confess and forsake all known sins? To rely upon Christ's strength to carry out these commitments? If so, would you just sing with me, "Sweet Hour of Prayer"? Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne, make all heads. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this opportunity to study. We're thankful that we've had the opportunity to even pray together twice. And now I pray that you'll go with us, and may we make these firm commitments to confess our sins and to spend time with you, relying on what we read, listening to your voice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.